I think God's calling. Thank you again. Let's give Joshua another hand. So I don't forget, today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and Hope Pregnancy Center is having a fundraiser today. We've announced this last week, so most of you know, most of you probably got one of these flyers, but I'm just going to have them passed around. If you didn't get one and you want the details, take one. But the bottom line, you can get barbecue lunch today at Brian Silver Campus, and you can make a donation and have Cody's Barbecue, I think, is providing the barbecue. So many good things going on. New life group getting started. Love and respect couples group getting started one more time. My wife and I have done a number of those. It's been our privilege to host a life group for a year and a half, something like that. And we focused on Multiply, which is a book and a series by Francis Chan and David Platt. Francis Chan wrote the book, but the two of them are part of this. And so it's really about multiplying disciples. And so Hunter and Ava, what's been entrusted to you, we believe you will pass on in teaching and leading others. They are leading the group. We are talking to another couple about hosting. They've indicated they're very interested in hosting. So this is kind of the future of small groups, is this idea of a leadership couple and then a hosting couple, so that there's kind of this division of labor. It's a lot of, in a sense, of responsibility, and to maybe do both might be asking for some too much. So we divide it up in this fashion. Discipleship is a big part of what God's put on my heart. So if that's something that resonates with you, then I'd like to talk further with you more one-on-one. And my wife is equally available to talk about discipleship. Lee, raise your hand so that our visitors will know who Lee is. I'm Bruce, and this is Lee. I'm Bruce, and this is Lee. Those that come from other parts of the world, when they first hear that, and I say it twice, they go, "Oh, Bruce Lee." That makes it easy to remember, doesn't it? We're in a series. I mean, not so much that I've done a series, but lately the theme in the messages, many messages, has been about transformation. So I'm kind of continuing in that vein. I've been in the Gospels personally reading this past week, and have been through almost all four of the Gospels at least once in just listening. And so when Paul asked me yesterday, asked the leaders, would any of us be available to provide a message? I just said, I'm available. But it wasn't because I've been preparing a sermon all week. It's just because I believe God always has something for us. It's the Word of God. And so I would just need to kind of hone in on some part of the Gospels, because that's what I've been reading and listening to. So I've chosen to focus on Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. If you want to turn there, Anthony's going to bring up Matthew 10. We're going to read the entire chapter, and then just a little bit of chapter 11. And I'm going to make some observations, provide some points and promises from portions predominantly from chapter 10 and a couple of them from chapter 11 along this line of transformation. But as we read this, as you listen to this, keep in mind, kind of grasp, kind of listen for the battle. First of all, listen for how many incredible things are going on. It must have been quite the privilege to be a disciple of Jesus, and then, you know, Jesus say, okay, you all have been listening and learning for months. I'm not sure exactly in the three-year period where they're at right now in this, but he said, all right, you all come here. you disciples, you who have been around me, you've been listening to my teaching, you observed the ministry that God has given me, come around. I've got a mission. I want you to go out, and I want you to heal the sick and to set the captives free. I want you to do some very specific things that you're going to be empowered to do. And by the way, I want you to preach the gospel, the good news. I want you to go out in my name. So it's really about multiplication. Jesus, as we look at, that's really chapter 10. There's great battle going on. It's a lot of wonderful things going on. So don't miss the wonderful things and get kind of caught up in the struggle. But wherever God is moving, there's going to be opposition. Just as we heard from Joshua, wherever God is moving in someone's heart, there is opposition. There's risk. Risk. There's sometimes, depending on the context, significant persecution. So listen for that. I think a couple of things we've heard already this morning line up really well with what you're going to be hearing today about the harvest, about transformation, about discipleship, about what God's doing in the world, what God wants to continue to do in this world. So let's go to the very end of chapter 9, which may not be up there. That's fine. I'm only reading a couple verses. And then we're going to read right through 10, and I'm going to fairly quickly go through just some points that I'm making. So understand the biggest part of what you're receiving is what God's word is recorded. So don't kind of tune out until you get to what Bruce has to say. Tune in through all of this. In fact, I'd like to ask you to stand with me. Those of you who can, stand with me as we read through all of chapter 10. But I'm going to start verse 36 of chapter 9. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And when he had called, now I'm at chapter 10. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. And I'm going to fast forward through their names, but that's verse 2 and 3 and 4. Verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food." By the way, I'm reading from the New King James. I think what we have up here is King James, very similar, but you'll notice a few differences. Now, verse 11. "Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak it in the light, and whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Please have a seat. That's an entire chapter. Looking back, just want to make some observations, but you really can tell there's a lot going on. Some of it's incredible. Can you just imagine 12 disciples moving into Brian and going to the hospitals, healing, casting out demons? I mean, Jesus just said, you have been seeing what I've been doing. Now you have the power to do it. You have the authority. You are being commanded to go and do likewise. I'm sure they were a little nervous, because it's one thing to watch somebody do something, but the more you read the Gospels, the more you realize their world was being turned upside down. And people were really coming to the conclusion, could this be the Christ? Could this really be? Some of them would say, well, it's Joseph's son, the carpenter's son. They had to kind of get past his sort of common heritage. But then there was others who said, no, he casts out demons by Beelzebub. And Jesus addresses them too. A house divided cannot stand. So there's a lot going on. And some of it's incredible. Some of it's just, it would blow our minds if it all happened around us today, wouldn't it? But there's incredible opposition as well. There's a battle. And the battle is on several fronts. So I can just see Jesus as kind of a platoon leader in calling his disciples together. He says, I've got a special mission for you. I want you to go behind enemy lines. We call that in the army, we call it SOF, right? Special Operations Forces. So he's like, I want you to go in the enemy territory, and I want you to do some incredible things. And I want you to know, the enemy's going to take note. The enemy's going to take note. And you're going to experience some incredible opposition. But the battle for your transformation is not just on the front end when you come to know Jesus. When you come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, transformation continues. He is constantly, and he will allow opposition in your life. Some of you, maybe most of you, if I ask the question, have you had any battles this past week? Have you been fighting any battles? Have you encountered any resistance, struggles? Some of you are very, very encouraged because God's doing some great things and you're getting to see it. You're getting to witness it. And maybe in some way you're a part of what God's doing. But the vast majority of us day to day are just experiencing the challenges and the struggles of life. And we're looking for God to show up. We're looking for God to remind us that he's present, that he is powerful, that he can take on not only his enemies, but your problems, your challenges. We'll look at Matthew 10:8. It just says, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. To be able to give something of value, you must first have received something of value. Here's the point. Don't go through life without the greatest treasure you could have, a relationship with Jesus. Don't go through life without the greatest treasure that you could have, a relationship with Jesus. Here's the promise in verses 32 and 33 of that same chapter 10. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Freely you've received, freely given, freely give. So how do you confess Jesus before men? How do you confess Jesus? What's that mean? Because a lot hangs on that. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father. Well, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans, Chapter 10 as well, verses 8 through 11, Paul writes, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. The Greek for confess is to speak the same. It's literally homologeo. It means to speak the same. God understands our situation, and he's looking for us to speak the same, to speak what he speaks, to speak what truth he's revealed, to admit to God I'm a sinner, to admit to God I need a Savior. I need Jesus to come into my life. I want a relationship with Jesus. That's what it means to confess him. To confess him. To speak the same. To say who Jesus really, truly is. Let's go on to verse 16. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Therefore, what's the therefore? Reading prior to that. It's when they're going out into the cities and he's telling them to bless these homes, to bless this city. And if they receive it, their blessing will land. If they turn away, the blessing will come back on you. But he's basically saying there's going to be opposition to your presence, to your ministry, to what God has given you to share with them. So he says, therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. If you're being sent into enemy territory, don't be surprised when they start shooting at you. If you're being sent into enemy territory, which you can't go too far without being in enemy territory, because it's like today, it's all around. It's asymmetrical battlefield, meaning it's not like here's a line of trenches and here's another line of trenches and we know where the enemy is. The enemy isn't just across this gap between trenches. The enemy is all around. So don't be surprised, Jesus says to his disciples, when they start shooting at you. If you're given a platform to speak to the lost, then trust that God will give you the words to speak. Here's the promise. God's Holy Spirit is the promise to all who believe in Jesus. You're not alone. You're not alone. You might think when you're going out into your daily routine and there's no brother or sister standing beside you going, you know, out in pairs. Jesus did send them out in pairs. But you are not alone. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God has come to reside, to live within you. He is always with you. You're never alone. And He will give you the words to speak. Verse 26, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Therefore do not fear them. In other words, they're going to do a lot to oppose you. The world, the devil, it's going to do a lot to oppose you. And you might get discouraged. But he says, do not fear them. Therefore do not fear them. For there's nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Well, is that about you or is that about them? It's about the opposition. The opposition might want to do things that they feel they can get away with. They will oppose you in thinking that their words and their actions will not come back around. But God is reassuring us, we don't have to be judge, jury in their lives. God will do that. And what they do and what they say will come back around. It's not a bad warning to say when someone's opposing you, do you realize that we each will give an account for what we say and what we do? Do you realize that one day each of us will stand before God and give an account for the words, for the actions? So, point. If you choose to be a disciple of Jesus, you can expect opposition. And here's the promise. God is big enough to take care of His enemies and your problems. God is big enough to take care of His enemies. It doesn't surprise Him that when you go out in His name and you share His life, it doesn't surprise Him that you're going to receive opposition. And then toward the end of that chapter, verse 42, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. How much does it cost to give a cup of water? If you take it out of your tap, it doesn't cost you much. If you buy a bottle of water, it costs you a few pennies. But he says, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. What's the point? No blessing is too small. No blessing is too small. The promise is God is keeping your reward secure. No blessing is too small. He shall by no means lose his reward. So in the midst of the battle that's going on, Jesus is keeping track of how you respond. And think about being a blessing in people's lives. Think about the possibilities as you go through your life, as you go through your week, and you come upon somebody, and the potential is, we're so enamored with our own circumstances and our own trials, our own struggles, that someone comes into our lives and we kind of know they're there, but we don't really pay attention to them. We don't really slow down enough or declutter our thinking enough to go, how are you doing today? And then listen and go, wow, I'm not really sure what to tell you, but I feel led to maybe offer a prayer for you. Could I do that? I almost can guarantee you that most people would say yes. Most people will not refuse a sincere offer for prayer. If you start sort of like preaching to them, they might go, yeah, I don't think they're really listening to me. They're not really listening. They just want to preach to me. But if you go, you know, it sounds like you're really going through some tough circumstances. You're really facing some battles. And I'm not really sure what to say to you right now, but I'd like to pray for you. How many people's lives would be encouraged and maybe changed? That's up to God. Because God's at work in their life. Long before you and I might have intersected with them, God's been at work in their life. And maybe he's just looking for one more bit of encouragement while they're in the fight. And you get that privilege to be one more. So God is keeping your reward secure. Don't underestimate the value of small things. All right, I want to just, for the last 2 points here, go into chapter 11, because it's all context. So I'm going to read verses 1 to 6, and then the very end of the chapter for the last and final point. So if you can see it up there, or if you have your Bible, chapter 11, 1 to 6. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. All right, so you get the idea. Jesus just launched his disciples out. And then he went back to work. He didn't say, well, I'm glad I got them to do that. Now I can take my break and go down by the sea and get in my hammock and chill. Which is not a bad idea. I think we should get in a hammock and chill every now and then. But Jesus, it says, now it came to pass, when he finished commanding, he finished the briefing. He said, okay, any questions? Y'all ready? Go. That he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Wow. Now, we're going to be introduced to John. And when John the Baptist, John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, to Jesus, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you see, you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor of the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Well, okay, so Jesus goes back to work, and two of John's disciples catch up with him. John's in prison because he's opposed someone in authority. That someone was in an inappropriate relationship, and John said, that's not appropriate, and that person said, John, you go to prison. And so John went to prison. And he's probably a little discouraged and perhaps even a little doubtful, because John the Baptist, isn't he the one that baptized Jesus in the Jordan? And Jesus came up out of the water and the Spirit of God descended like a dove. And then somewhere, you know, there's this kind of like, you know, I can kind of hear James Earl Jones kind of voice, you know, coming from the clouds. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So John the Baptist was there when all these incredible things were happening at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But now he's at a place of doubt because he's in prison. He doesn't know the future. But Jesus tells his disciples, John's disciples, go back and tell John what's going on. The world is being turned upside down. In other words, take heart. Sure, you've been sidelined in some fashion. I'm sure the prison guards didn't mind hearing the gospel. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was in prison. He just said, well, God took me from this place and gave me a prison ministry. So John, you know, could have made some lemonade out of those lemons as well. But John is a little bit discouraged, a little bit doubtful. The circumstances have changed. Might not have been the way he scripted this thing to work out. And so he's wondering, is this Jesus who we're really looking for? Or is just everything going downhill because he's in prison and, I don't know, perhaps other things that were piling in on him? Here's the point. It isn't hard to imagine how doubts can surface when you're facing hardships. It isn't hard to imagine how doubts can surface when you're facing hardships. Second, Jesus is out there doing great things. Jesus is out there doing great things to and through his disciples, through his followers. And the promise is your faith will be strengthened as you read or hear about God's work in the world. My faith is strengthened because Joshua Douglas shared about Salif, Yusuf, Ibrahim. I've been praying for those guys. It's encouraging to me that God is at work in those men's lives. I've never met them. But Joshua knows them. Joshua has invested his life. And those men have taken great risk. And they know there's a tremendous battle for their transformation. But they, by God's grace, will probably transform at a more rapid rate with that opposition than perhaps some of us or most of us. Let's go down to the end of chapter 11 for some encouraging conclusion. Because sometimes we get weary. Sometimes the fight takes all the fight out of us. And we just want to draw back and we want to take a break. And we, I don't know, this is very petty and minor, but occasionally, because I manage property, something breaks. And sometimes two things break on the same day. And sometimes more, and I'm going, God, I didn't think I had that much on my agenda today. I was kind of looking forward to not having a lot on my agenda. And then I get a phone call, I get a text, and it's like, okay, which one do I go for first? So my expectations are not always reality. And things can sometimes just come in suddenly, kind of like that perfect storm of circumstances. And I'm getting hit from the right and the left and from in front and back. So what happens when you get tired, when you get weary? Very end of chapter 11. At that time, Jesus answered and said, and we are at verse 25, in case you're following. Verse 25. This is a prayer. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. The last three verses. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle or meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Wow. So when you're in the fight, don't forget whose yoke and whose burden you really want to carry. His. Yoke means he's yoked up, you know, like two oxen, they put a yoke over them, right? And you want to be yoked up to some experienced oxen so you're not, you know, getting ahead of him and wearing yourself out. And he goes, well, he'll slow down after a while. He'll get tired. You want to be yoked up to Jesus because his burden is light. He knows what he's doing. He knows you. He knows me. He knows what we can take. The point, there is no rest like the rest you will have when you rest in Jesus. There is no rest like the rest you will have when you rest in Jesus. Three things Jesus asks of you in this passage, especially when you're exhausted. Come to me, take my yoke, and learn from me. Come to me, take my yoke, and learn from me. The promise, if you give it all to Jesus, if you give it all to Jesus, you will find rest for your souls. And in closing, just a couple of challenges, and then I'm going to read some words from a song. Have you found rest? Are you burdened? Do you hear Jesus' invitation to come? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? If not, why not surrender your life and your burdens to Him today? Brother or sister, are you discouraged? Has the enemy created doubt in your heart and mind about the power of God? Do you feel alone? Listen to Jesus' words of reassurance found in Hebrews 13:15, perhaps very familiar, when Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are not alone. Have you been in a fight lately? Are you experiencing some battle fatigue? Are you being persecuted for your faith in Jesus? Take heart. Take heart. Transformation of your soul is being accomplished in the fight. Transformation of your soul is being accomplished in the fight. It is also being accomplished when you draw back and you find a place to rest. You've been given God's Word, His Holy Spirit, and His promises. It's time to rest in Him. Some of you will remember a song. This is going to take you back to the 80s, and some of you weren't around in the 80s. And some of you have never heard of Twyla Paris. When she wrote and sang, I think she wrote it, a song called "A Soldier," about a soldier's need for rest. It went like this. Lately I've been winning battles left and right, but even winners can get wounded in the fight. People say I'm amazing, strong beyond my years, but they don't see inside me. I'm hiding all my tears, all the tears. They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a little while. Because deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Unafraid because his armor is the best. But even soldiers need a quiet place to rest. People say I'm amazing, never face retreat, but they don't see the enemies that lay me at his feet. They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a while, because deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in the world. Thank you for what you're doing in individual hearts. Thank you for every person that took a step of faith.